What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Fan Culture, episode 20 now. Episode 20. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. Woo. Got Sakani back from Cuba. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Been readjusting the pace of life back out here in New York, but I'm well.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you back. We've been missing you, so welcome back. We got Carl here. How you feeling, Carl?
I'm good, man. I'm ready.
Good. All right, good. We got a lot of stuff to get into. No Brandon here today. We'll talk some Cowboys drama, some of the latest developments there. We've also got the whole Jay-Z, Colin Kaepernick deal. Kenny Stills has some comments. We'll break that down. Devin Booker and Joakim Noah got into it at Open Run, talking about, you know, are double teams allowed in Open Run? So we'll give our takes on that as well. But first things first.
Joakim who?
Wow.
Just because man ain't on a roster, that's foul.
He was a Bull.
Right. Like, man, that's how you feel about your former Bulls?
I mean, former.
Oh, so now he against you. If he ain't with you, he against you. All right, I feel it.
I mean, basically.
But first things first, if you've been following us on social media, then you've seen the post. Fan Culture is hosting its first annual fantasy football league. So to all the fantasy football players out there, if you think you can hang with the hosts of Fan Culture and some of your, you know, fellow listeners as well, make sure to sign up. Just to go over, you know, how to sign up, what you can do. You got to either like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram at Fan Culture Pod. Also, post a screenshot of you listening to Fan Culture on Facebook or on your IG story and tag us. Make sure to tag us in it. Obviously, we're available on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. So wherever you listen to us, just take a screenshot, send it, post it to your story, tag us, and you know that's your ticket in. Once you do that and we see it, we'll send you a link to join the league. It's a $20 entry fee. Yes, $20, but there's $240 up for grabs. So I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying to walk away with that money. Do you guys want to walk away with that money, or y'all, or you just want to donate to me, or I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what y'all trying to do.
Oh, no, man. I'm competitive.
Okay.
And yeah. I think this just, you know, it brings a different spirit. I mean, we are fans.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what it is about, competitiveness.
Yeah.
And let's go. Let's put some money in. Let's see where everybody hit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. That's exactly how I'm feeling. So, again, just make sure to either like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram at Fan Culture Pod. Directions are on both of those pages, so let's go ahead and get it. But let's jump to this Cowboys drama. So the Cowboys have been in the headlines pretty much every single day for the past like couple weeks now. Obviously, just new developments coming practically every single day. Yesterday, we got the news that Jalen Smith, linebacker, signed his extension. Congrats. Obviously, yeah, congrats to Jalen Smith. He got paid. I think he took a little bit of a discount, but still, nonetheless, he got paid pretty handsomely for his services. So shout out Jalen Smith, Dak, Zeke, Amari Cooper. None of them have gotten paid yet. Ezekiel Elliott is still holding out in Cabo. Got Dak and, you know, Amari still with the team and everything playing right now. Jerry Jones also, when asked, I believe it's Tony Pollard, is their fourth round draft pick this year, rookie. Had a strong preseason game. They asked him about Tony Pollard's performance, and in response, when asked about Zeke, said, "Zeke who?" Beyond disrespectful. But tell me how you guys are feeling about that. What was your guys' takeaway from some of the most recent Cowboys developments?
This is why I said Dak should have showed up. This is why I said I'm going to pay who's present before I pay who is not present. Who? Mike Jones.
Yeah. Sakani, how you feeling?
So I would say my opinion about it has changed slightly after I watched First Take this morning. Honestly, I was provided with a perspective I hadn't heard before, which is that, you know, Jerry Jones said he was joking, and he's joking with people who he sees all the time, people who he knows, people who know Zeke. And yeah, he's a reporters who work with exclusive networks to cover Cowboys games, Cowboys press, Cowboys news, and everything. And so he said it was a joke and that he's earned the right to joke with Zeke that way. And I feel like in many ways, Jerry Jones has allowed certain things that Zeke has done to slide. He stuck his neck out for Zeke several times. And he's done everything in his power to make sure Zeke is taken care of. But I think Zeke demands to be the highest paid player, or at least one of the higher paid running backs in the league right now. You know, based off of 3 years of work, or 2.5 years of work, as any type of business person, it's just like, all right, well, I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to pay you that much. And the situation being as tense as it is, with reporters asking, you know, how Zeke and him saying Zeke who, obviously it's like, well, he knows who Zeke is. Obviously, he knows the situation they're talking about. And it was just a joke. It wasn't anything to be taken seriously. And so I heard that and was like, all right, I guess knowing that their relationship is at a point that I couldn't imagine. Like if I knew, if my boss, if I was asking my boss for a raise and we had people, or, you know, I don't know how to compare this. Like, I'm trying to think, if I was in Zeke's shoes and was familiar with press and had, you know, all those people around me all the time, and they ask a question to my boss about my salary, and my boss says, who's that? I'm gonna reach out to who my boss is, just straight up, and see, yo, what you mean? You good? Are we good? I know we haven't come to this deal yet, but I wouldn't necessarily say, like, oh, that's just mad disrespectful. I feel like that's, you're just being sensitive. If you're gonna, obviously he knows who the fuck you are. You are the anchor to this offense in many ways. So he knows that a deal needs to get done. I'm pretty sure you can take that as a joke, but also it's football and I get it. You know, people want their money. People get injured and you want to make sure that you're going to get, you know, get your money up front. We saw what happened to, what's his name? Safety last year on Seahawks. I can't remember his name right now.
Earl Thomas.
Yes, we saw what happened to Earl Thomas after he
got out. We see it in basketball.
And
yeah.
Say it again, Cole?
We see it in basketball. I mean, you see it happen with Cousins,
exactly.
Thomas. It could have happened to KD. Like, we see it.
Very true. And so I get that part of it, but I don't think the comment, you know, Zeke Cool should be blown up as, you know, him being intentionally disrespectful or anything like that, in my opinion. I feel like Jerry Jones has earned the right to joke around like that with the people who he's, you know, people who interview him, and having that type of relationship with Zeke is as many things as Zeke could have been suspended for, or, you know, just conduct detrimental to the team. His name is always in the press. There isn't a summer or a year that, you know, we don't hear about Zeke in off-field issues. So, yeah, I just feel like Jerry Jones, as often as I'm just like, I don't like Jerry Jones, even as a Cowboys fan, it's hard to sometimes be on his side. But in this particular thing, it's just like, all right, I'm with you. I understand where you're coming from. But also, I don't know how I feel about Jerry still. He still needs to pay Zeke either way. But I don't feel like those comments were too wild.
I feel you. And I saw that same clip from First Take today, too, which kind of, you know, enlightened me on that, you know, other perspective. I think at the same time, not to say that I would be, like, if I were in Zeke's shoes, that I'd be truly disrespected and I'm like, hey, trade me or I refuse to sign with you or anything like that now. But I think Jerry needs to realize that there's a time and a place. Like, let's go back to the NBA, for example. Let's say, you know, we all knew the drama between KD and Draymond, right? That happened last year. You know, they got into it on the bench. I believe it was in LA at the time. Let's say if Draymond Green had a press conference the next day and he says, oh, well, KD know he's soft. He always been soft. Even if they joke about that in practice all the time and it's not a big deal, there's a higher likelihood that KD's going to be offended or he's going to be, you know, shrug, you know, be disappointed at that because it's just not the right time. Y'all aren't in a good spot. So it's kind of the same
thing. Is there a reason you're bringing up KD, though?
Is there a reason? Just because he's an easy target?
Okay.
So no reason it's KD specifically. I just couldn't think of a better situation right now. But going back to Jerry and going back to Zeke, you're not in a good spot right now. If he's in camp, he can probably make those comments because, hey, Zeke is there. He's active. You know, Zeke's going to hear about it probably 5 minutes after you say it. And, you know, you can look over at him and, you know, laugh and all that stuff. But Zeke is in Cabo trying to get his body right because I think at this point he doesn't really know what the future holds. He doesn't know if he's going to be in a Cowboys uniform ever again. Really, I think he expects to, but you don't absolutely know. So I think Jerry could have easily refrained from making this comment. Although a lot of people aren't bringing light to the comments that he made after he said that. Basically, he talked about Tony Pollard being, you know, this great, like, complimentary back and all the things that he could do with Zeke. You know, not really talking about replacing Zeke, but, you know, the most controversial line was Zeke who. So that's what makes the headline. But still, Jerry kind of has to realize that there's a time and a place. This isn't the right time right now. And you just have to understand the kind of players that, you know, you have. If you know Zeke, wouldn't you have a high chance of knowing that this would probably disrespect, that he'd feel disrespected or that he'd feel offended by your statements? It's like, you claim to know him, and I understand you've done all this stuff for him, but there are certain things where it's like, I don't necessarily earn the right to do it. I think it's just a level of comfort that you establish with the player. And I think he probably has that level of comfort, but still, just the improper timing kind of makes someone take it left, because it's like, I'm not feeling that right now. Like, you can't always joke with someone all the time when, you know, if they're not in a good mood or something. Like, you're not going to get the same reaction. So I think it's kind of the same thing just happening here. Maybe Zeke would be cool with that like any other day, but not right now, not in this situation.
I agree with Sid, because my biggest thing is, okay, you've earned the right to do that based on stuff you've done in the past, but kind of like what you said, we have a present situation going on, and I don't know what their relationship is right now.
Yeah,
I don't know if the two of them are communicating. I would assume that during this type of a business process of negotiation, it would be Jerry's people and Zeke's people. It'll be, you know, my GM and our financial people speaking to his agent. Right. I don't know if the two of them are speaking to where Zeke is even able to say, I don't mind it because we cool right now. I don't know how they are. I want to get paid a certain amount of money the same way you've done things for me off the field. I've done things for you on the field. So I feel like you should be able, or you should be willing to pay me this money. You know, I'm as good as Todd Gurley, you know, I'm as good as Le'Veon Bell, or better, you know, I'm as good as whoever done got money recently. So I can understand Zeke feeling like you should just pay me this because somebody else got it and because we cool. And then you got somebody like Jerry looking at it like, well, I done this for you and we cool, so you should take this on top of the fact that you're not here. But I'm still say this, but it's cool. Like, it's just too much. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's too much going on in that situation for him to be playing right now. I'm not playing. This is my life.
Yeah.
It's my family. This is my security. This is the establishment to set up my Jones legacy. I want my money. But then you thinking it's funny and you making jokes on my name because you already rich.
That's real.
That's what I'm saying. That's real. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think you should have left it alone. But at the same, I don't think you should have did that. But at the same time, go to work.
Yeah. Show up.
You should still be there.
Yeah.
Because regardless, you're getting paid this year. Like, you do have a contract that says you get paid this year. Otherwise, you would have been a free agent. So you do have a job. But I don't know. I see both, but just with the who, I feel like he should have stayed away from that.
I hear that part of the argument, and don't feel as wrong either. You know, Zeke wants his money. Zeke should be paid. He's been the leading rusher 2 out of his 3 years in the NFL. Should definitely be paid. I don't think he should be paid max. That's my deal. I don't think.
So you don't think that he should be the highest paid running back in the league? Because that's, I think that's what he's asking for. You don't think so?
That is what he's asking for. No, I don't think so.
Interesting.
Running backs get hurt too often, too easily. And that's the exact reason why Zeke wants his money. And I get that. But he also has to pay Dak. And he has to pay Amari. And he just paid Jalen. And so, honestly, you're a billionaire. Pay that luxury tax. I don't give a fuck. Like, you should pay that because you can afford to do it. But whatever reasons they decide that they don't want to take on that extra fee, sure. But honestly, if I was Jerry Jones and I had the amount of money that was in my bank account, but I was handling that type of money, I would probably be very frugal with it and want to figure out how I can get the best out of my money and keep the best players for the money that I have. But at the same time, the only way you're going to keep those players around is by paying them and making sure that they're happy. And can't do that if you're playing with people's names.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of the problem with the NFL, though, because the NFL doesn't have... The NFL isn't like the NBA, where the NFL rather has a hard cap. So it's like, we really can't only spend this amount of money. I think if they had a luxury tax,
that's true. They don't.
I think the Cowboys would be breaking the luxury tax every single year, because it's like, you do what you got to do. You know, Jerry's got $1 billion in his back pocket at any given time, so you know he would. I feel like he would break the bank to keep everyone together and be able to pay everyone, you know, top dollar, because hey, you know, I can't. Just same thing like the Yankees do. The Yankees always have the highest payroll in baseball because they just throw money at whoever because they can't. So I would think that Jerry would be in the same boat. But it's a tough situation, and I feel like at this point, not to say that he needs to be walking on eggshells, because it's like, hey, I'm the owner of the team. I should be able to, you know, walk around freely and all that. But it's just when you have a Super Bowl in mind and you have such a small window, you do have to tread a little lightly. You know, you don't have to act how he's acting just to, you know, flex your ego or whatever the case is. I don't even know what it is. You know, that may not even be it, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see just what happens with the Cowboys in the coming weeks. You know, can some of these players get their deals done before the season? Because I don't think you want to have a situation where you got your three best players, or arguably your three best players, and none of them have gotten paid, you know, gotten their deal heading into the regular season. So they got some work to do in the next couple weeks. Back to the NFL, still sticking with the NFL. We got the Roc Nation partnership. So Kenny Stills had some interesting comments, you know, made towards Jay-Z. Everyone's kind of taking issue with Jay-Z saying in his press conference with the announcing the partnership, saying that we're past kneeling. I think everyone's kind of hooking on to that phrase, saying that we're past kneeling. Kenny Stills ultimately said, you know, I was taken aback when he said that, because, you know, you're not an NFL player. You've never taken a knee. And I think he even said, you know, I question how many common people do you really associate with? How many common people do you know? Basically implying, hey, all you know is millionaires and billionaires, and you know, you don't know the struggle and things like that. What are you guys' takeaway from Kenny Stills' comments, and do you agree with them? Where do you stand in that whole statement? I think Carl and I, you know, you and I agreed on the last episode that we didn't like that comment.
No, I definitely didn't like the comment, and I think that's where Kenny Stills was coming from. The same place that I was, where I said, it's just those words, and I just didn't have the context behind it. When I listened to Jay-Z's explanation, I think kneeling was the best and worst word to use. It was the best word to use because it associates with Colin Kaepernick more than football probably does at this point. And it can also be used as a metaphor. I'm not literally talking about just kneeling. It can be protests in general. You know, people done protest by sitting. People have protested by standing. People have protested by chanting. It's not literally just kneeling. I'm just talking about protesting as a whole.
Yeah.
It's time for action. And it is. At some point, Dr. Martin Luther King had to sit down with somebody and figure out a way to actually make the change that his protests brought attention to.
Right.
You've brought the attention to it. What are we gonna do? You can't kneel forever. You can't wear hoodies forever. You can't walk the streets forever. You can't make signs forever. At some point, you have to do something. The only thing is, you gotta do something. Don't tell me we're past this point if there's gonna be no change. And that's on Jay-Z's part. Cause that's scary. That's a lot of responsibility that he's taking on. I commend him for it, because it's gonna be very, very hard to please black people, because it's gonna be a lot of change that he might be making that we may not see on a daily basis, so we're not gonna give him credit for it. He might not be changing our areas to where we can really feel it.
Yeah, the tangible, you know, things we can see, like, we can feel, we can
exactly. You know, we might not get that for a minute, or some of us may not get that at all. This is why some people don't care about politics, because what goes on doesn't really affect me. Like, unless it's like taxes, but everybody don't pay taxes. Like, some people just don't care because whatever's done doesn't affect their lives.
Yeah.
So if Jay-Z's not doing something to affect a specific person, or if they don't see what's going on, they're not going to give him credit for it. So I commend him for it, but he gonna have to do something, because don't tell us we're past the kneeling and you don't bring any real change.
Yeah.
Because if you're telling us we're past it, then we should stop.
So Connie, what's your take?
My thoughts were, I agree with Kenny. Jay-Z was speaking for people who he hadn't been in conversation with. Or maybe he had been in conversation with some, but I feel like the people who were leading the protest, leading that stance as far as NFL players go, he was very out of touch with them and didn't really sit down and find out how the players wanted to move forward with, you know, what action needs to be taken as far as the NFL stance on racial injustice everywhere. And I think had he done that, it would have, one, been received better overall, but then two, comments like Kenny's wouldn't have been warranted, or wouldn't have, I guess, even come out had Jay-Z spoken with the people who are actually affected by this, and not sitting in room with billionaires, like Carl said. You know, you're not communicating or building with the folks who also need to be in that room. And I think that's the troubling part with this whole deal. Overall, I don't think Kenny was wrong in what you said. And although I'm happy for the you know, the partnership, because it is progress, it's a way for there to be a black voice that's involved, or just a black group in general, a black entity that's involved in, you know, some NFL decision making, as far as, like, I think it's just the entertainment side of things, but still, it's progress. Before, there was nothing. And like Carl said, you know, we can't just keep kneeling. We can't keep protesting. Like, obviously there's gonna have to be a move that's made, and this is the first move. It may not be the best move, but it's the first one, and we can grow from this and build from this. But I'm not mad at Kenny.
Like we said on the last episode, I was kind of taken aback by him saying we're past kneeling, because that just makes it sound like, oh, that little kneeling thing that was yesterday.
It sounded dismissive.
Right. It'd be one thing if you said, you know what, kneeling served its purpose, you know, it brought awareness to the issue, now we're ready to take it to the next level. You've empowered, you know, what's previously done, and you're saying, let's, you know, capitalize on that, as opposed to that little thing, you know, forget it, this is what we need to be doing. So I definitely agree there that, you know, those comments kind of took me aback there. But I think that the NFL players need to remember, okay, I understand, you know, that they're kind of disturbed by the fact that Jay-Z didn't come to them and ask them, you know, what they want and things like that. But people don't remember that the Players Coalition, you know, the whole thing that was established, you know, by Kaepernick and supporting and, you know, supposed to, you know, move the culture forward within the NFL, they couldn't even get their agenda right. So you had Malcolm Jenkins that got involved, and he's against Eric Reed, and Kenny Stills is against Malcolm Jenkins. So you had two different camps basically in that Players Coalition. And, you know, us all being black men, we kind of know white people want to see like one message. They'll look at us and be like, you guys can't even get your own ish together. You know what I mean? Like, you guys can't even get on the same page. I'm not going to take you seriously in return.
Black Lives Matter. Half riot or a portion riot.
Exactly.
Or, you know, okay.
Exactly. And now the whole organization in the eyes of most white people is taken as a joke, because they just, and they take what, they're able to take what they want from it and be like, see, you guys just riot. They're not even pay attention to the half that actually established the movement and the one that has the all chapters and, you know, what they're really based on ethically. You're able to just prick and prod. So it's kind of the same thing happening here with the Players Coalition, because I think that the NFL owners are probably more likely to listen to, you know, the Malcolm Jenkins of the crew as opposed to the Kenny Stills, as opposed to the Eric Reeds of the group. But, and it's always been a thing. For some reason, I don't understand. I was thinking about this earlier today. I don't understand why white people don't have to be on the same page. Like, white people weren't on the same page in the Civil War, and that's, you know, how the whole Civil War came to happen. But for some reason, you got millions of black people in this nation, but we all have to be on the same page. We all have to agree. I don't get it. I just don't understand why that is what it is, but for some reason it is. So if I say something and Carl says something opposite, and someone in New Hampshire, black guy in New Hampshire, says something opposite, it's like, you guys can't even agree on anything, you know. But I digress. But still, going back to Jay-Z's comments and just kind of everything moving forward, I think that this is a good step in the right direction for the league. I understand at this point, okay, maybe Jay-Z didn't approach you initially, but approach him now. You know, don't you think he's going to want to make some, you know, partnerships with actual current NFL players right now? Kenny Stills, I think, needs to kind of open his eyes and give the NFL a chance. Not the NFL, but give Jay-Z a chance as well. Because you have to remember kind of the same thing that we brought up with Eric Reed in the last episode. It's like, I understand you're trying to make change, but last time I checked, you're also collecting those checks from the NFL. So don't make it necessarily seem like it's an us against them thing. Because if you're against them, be against them 100%. I'm not collecting money from you. All my causes are directly against you and, you know, conflicting and all that. But don't, you can't go collect their checks and then say, well, the NFL doesn't do this, the NFL doesn't do that. But I think this partnership can do a lot for the NFL. NFL's already benefiting just because for image purposes. So they're going to benefit even if this does absolutely nothing. But for the actual culture moving forward, this may be a good move. And I think people just need to give it a chance. We don't even have any specifics. Like, you are up in arms about something. We don't even know what it really is yet. They're just looking at Jay-Z and they're thinking he's going to be a puppet. I feel like Jay-Z's too smart and too savvy to be used as a puppet, and he has too much clout to be used, you
know,
as a puppet.
I'm a little shocked at the backlash, because I didn't know this many black people didn't like Jay-Z.
Me neither.
I mean, I know that about Kanye.
Right.
I know that about Kanye. I didn't know this many black people didn't like Jay-Z.
Yeah. And I mean, how much of it has to do with like what Jay-Z's actually done, or is it just like, oh, I always thought he was overrated, I always thought he was a trash rapper? So
I think it might be a little bit of both,
and that's unfortunate if it is.
Because I do know some people, I know some real, man, it's kind of cussed, I know some niggas that don't like Jay-Z. I don't listen to that nigga. Like, I know some niggas that don't like Jay-Z. So I'm just shocked that it's this many people.
Yeah.
Because I was excited when I first heard it. I was excited, and I thought to myself, okay, he's appropriate. He's Jay-Z and he's appropriate.
Yeah,
but
apparently not.
No, but I mean, like, yeah, I agree with that. Like, a lot of people aren't on Jay-Z's, you know, like, yeah, he's made money, but I don't know if I really see him just as an individual. May not with his lyrics, may not with the fact that he cheated on Beyonce. I mean, whatever reason it is that you might feel like you don't like Jay-Z.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find that reason.
Right.
And have that justify reason why you might not like this deal, or, you know, it can sway you in one way or another. It might just be, I don't like the way he raps.
Right. And I know Shannon Sharp brought up a good point too, just the fact that, you know, we're letting them do it again. We're getting away from the message. We're getting away from the purpose. It's now becoming NFL versus, or not NFL, but Jay-Z versus Cap thing. But it's like, we got to remember what Cap knelt for. You know what I mean? Like, it's for the people that don't have voices, but we're not even concerning ourselves with those people now. We're just talking about, you're either for Cap or you're for Jay-Z. And exactly. Just trying to have us pick sides again, as opposed to addressing the actual issue. Let the actual issue never be addressed. And then guess what? This whole NFL Rock Nation partnership will be a bust, because it's not even about the message. So, not saying we all gotta, you know, sip the Kool-Aid and hop on board now, but sit back, give it a chance, you know, give your input. If we know how social media drives things and it drives narratives, if social media, you know, kind of hopped on and, you know, introduced their actual ideas and solutions and things like that, the NFL, Rock Nation, they're going to take wind to that, and something's going to come of it. But, you know, all that's going on right now is just not a good look for the culture. It's not a good look for Cap. It's not a good look for any of those black NFL players. I don't think it's a good look for anyone really involved. It's just an ugly situation. And, you know, the NFL owners, Roger Goodell, just the NFL as a whole organization, is looking at us and just shaking their heads like, yeah, see, man, we give them a chance and they can't even be appropriate. This is why I don't rock with those people.
The thing is, they're happy about it, because now the focus is not on them.
Right.
And if there's any issue that is now considered a black issue, it's going to be like, why is Rock Nation not, you know, saying X, Y, and Z about, you know, about these issues? I thought that's what this was about. And so now I feel like there's also a way for the NFL to have a scapegoat, to be honest.
Oh, no, I feel you 100%.
Because if there, you know, there's millions of people who are on the opposite side of, we're not, obviously not for Cap. And so those people will look at this deal and be like, well, they got what they wanted. And any issues that are deemed as race issues, they have their sector that can deal with that. That's the reason why they got Jay-Z. So in their minds, this is all resolved. And they feel like the NFL has done its part. And the NFL knows that that's who its core base is. Mm-hmm. Subsequently, as long as they know that core base feels like they're doing the right thing, their money's coming in either way.
We'll see what happens down the road. I think the NFL is the biggest winner, because now liability is off their hands. This benefits their image. And if, you know, social advancement, you know, isn't made by this partnership, Rock Nation, not even Rock Nation, just Jay-Z is going to take the fall for it. So the NFL just gets to wipe their hands clean, continue collecting bigger and bigger checks, and hopefully get some black people that were on the fence about watching the NFL, get them back to watching the NFL. So we'll see. We'll see how it unfolds. Antonio Brown in the news again. He has reported to training camp, I believe, the past 2 days in a row now. However, he has filed another grievance against the NFL. I guess the issue now, when he was originally told, according to him, according to his camp, the helmet that he used to wear, as we discussed in the last episode, he was no longer able to wear that helmet. The reason being is because it was more than 10 years old, or that model was more than 10 years old. So AB, as a result, and I remember seeing this on Twitter, basically he was looking for someone that had the most up-to-date version of that helmet. And there was a helmet that was produced in 2011, a version of that helmet. But that helmet, the NFL saying, no, you still can't wear that one. That helmet itself, not the year that it was manufactured or anything like that, or the revised version. That's not the issue. It's just the fact that that model is 10 years old and you're not able to wear it.
That's trash.
Yeah.
I don't like that. If it's been revised or if it's brand new, I don't understand what the problem with
I don't know if I don't know if the model itself has been revised or if it was just, hey, this helmet was manufactured beyond 2010 but still has, you know, 2010 or 2009 technology, you right. know, in it, or, you know, setup, whatever. But basically just that model is still not a safe model.
Either play or don't.
Exactly. Play or don't play.
Because you already said you were good financially. So play or don't.
Yeah.
And that's really all I got to say.
And I also take issue with it because I've been hearing that the issue isn't even like the level of comfort or safety with these other models. It's just they don't look as good as his other helmet. If that's his gripe, I'm done with it. Well, I've already been done with AB, but if that's his gripe, get on the field, or I'm sending you a 5-day notice to either report and play, or you're suspended for the year. So Connie, how do you feel about this whole AB situation?
To be honest, I have not kept up with it because it started while I was away, and I just felt like a helmet issue was not really something I wanted to keep up with. So, to be real, I haven't really paid attention to it. I've just heard that it's an issue. I don't know enough. So, I feel like whatever I say is just going to be me talking out of my ass. Because there could be things that have already been mentioned that I'm not aware of. But, I will say I just haven't.
Yeah. And I mean,
aside of what y'all have said, yeah. I haven't kept up.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll make this last point, I guess, before we move on. I don't even know if I'm necessarily mad about him filing the grievance against the NFL to wear the helmet. If you want to do that, you can do that. That's fine. But why are you punishing the Raiders for it? This isn't the Raiders policy. This is the NFL policy. So you're mad at the NFL. So in turn, you're not going to report to training camp. You're not going to work out with your new quarterback, with your new offense, and, you know, gain that rapport and things like that. You're not even going to be in the building over it. Like, that's not right. But I don't know if how much experience he has with these new helmets, how long he's been wearing it, you know, how long he's been trying it out. But the season's in 2 weeks. So I don't want to be in a helmet that I'm not comfortable in, or one that I haven't had a chance to really break in come week one when the games actually matter. What am I going to lose? Am I going to lose a ball in the sun because I'm not used to looking a certain angle out of this helmet? Like, but I could have been doing it. I could have been doing that since last season. I could have been doing it during the whole offseason, during the preseason, getting acclimated to one particular helmet and saying this is going to be my moving forward. So it's just AB wanting to do AB and thinking he's larger than life. So I'm done with AB. Y'all got anything else to add?
Nope.
Well, then moving on. All right, so we're going to go to NBA for a minute. This video has been rotating around social media over the past couple days. A lot of NBA players playing in, you know, kind of open runs and all these workouts, you know, around the nation. So we'll bring your attention to Devin Booker and to Joakim Noah. I think Ben Simmons, Tony Snell was there as well. They're in this open run. Devin Booker gets the ball in the corner and he gets double teamed. I think the ball dribbles out of bounds or gets knocked out of bounds. And Devin Booker's like, yo, we doing double teams in the open run? Like, bro, we just need to be working on our game and all this stuff. Like, and Joakim Noah's like, yeah, we're doing double teams. And it's like, it's a part of the game. There's been a lot going back and forth. A lot of NBA players have been chiming in and, you know, a lot of them on different sides of the argument here. KD being one of the biggest opponents of this, saying, you know what, if maybe they should just be working on being better defenders. Like, he agrees with Devin Booker completely, saying he's exactly right. Like, dude's trying to just work on his game and, you know, you should be allowed to do that. Like, work on your one-on-one defense in the offseason. And then you got, I think Trae Young agreed with Devin Booker as well. Gilbert Arenas probably gave us one of the most profound, you know, kind of arguments against it. saying like, yo, well, if you're trying to be a superstar, like this is part of what it is. Part of it is being double teamed. He said, you know what? I worked too hard throughout my career to be disrespected by someone trying to guard me one-on-one. Like, so by you double teaming me, you're actually showing me respect. You know, Devin Booker has never played in the playoffs, never sniffed the playoffs. So for him to be talking like this is kind of, it just sounds like a loser mentality. Like, this is the same dude that, you know, came into a game late, a game that they were losing, to make sure that he scored 70 points.
Yeah.
Another, you know, same one that getting blown out by the Jazz, but I want to make sure that I get 60 or whatever it was he was going for. Working on your game, passing out of a double team is part of the game. You know what I mean? Like, I think he averaged close to 7 assists this past year. So if he's been doing that, you know, during the regular season, I commend him. I can't speak on it because I haven't seen many Phoenix Suns games on TV.
Not at all.
But still, nonetheless, that's a part of the game. If for him to be playing in the league for so long, because he caught the ball in the corner too. If you're in the corner, I'm going to send a double team. You don't catch the ball in the corner. You don't stand in the corner with just holding the ball. You're asking for a double team. That's basketball 101. Anyone that's played basketball for any number of years knows that. So I don't see why. I'm trying to win a game. I'm trying to win the game however I can. I'll put it like this. If you can't have double teams in pickup games, you can't have pick and rolls in pickup games. That's basically the offense's version of a double team, the pick and roll. So by that logic, you know, then, hey, no pick and rolls. Everyone just play one-on-one basketball. You don't get no help offensively. You don't get no help defensively. Let's see how long that game is going to take. And we'll go from there. That's my rant.
The way I look at it, if you want to work on your game, go practice by yourself.
Yeah.
You can't come into a competitive situation and tell me how to function on my side. We're playing basketball. I don't give a damn when it is. I don't care if it's a real game. I don't care if it's a pickup game. I'm trying to win. If you don't want to be competitive, then go work out with your trainer and have him guard you one-on-one. Or you go find one person and y'all play one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You're not going to tell me in a 5-on-5. This isn't a practice scrimmage where we're just going through plays. Like, no, we're playing a game.
Right.
Whether it's pickup or organized, we're playing a game. There's a winner, there's a loser. I want to win. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me it's not appropriate to double team you just because what? We're
right.
Keeping score. Yeah. There's a winner, there's a loser. You can't tell me.
Exactly.
That was the first thing that came across my mind. Like, how dare you? How dare you tell me what I can do in this competitive game right now? How can you tell me I can't double? Why?
You're supposed to be working on our game.
No, you're supposed to be practicing to work on your game, and now you're supposed to show that you can play.
Yeah.
Not that you can play one-on-one, because like you said, like Gilbert Arenas said, you don't always play one-on-one.
Right, exactly.
It's not that. You have to face zones. You have to face double teams. Some people have to face triple teams. It happens. And you can't tell me that I can't do that right now because you don't feel like dealing with it.
Yeah, and he said he gets double teamed all season. Why are you going to work on playing one-on-one if you're not going to be – you're not going to have one-on-one matchups in the regular season.
So everything we see from you in these pickup
games,
why
are you not practicing for what you're going to play in?
Exactly.
We should just disregard it because you're not showing me how good you are because you'll never do that.
Yeah. Yeah, Sakani, so I'm assuming you agree with us?
Oh, 100%, yes. Like, if y'all all are working on your game, then why can I not work on my game defensively?
Right. Yeah.
You know, if this is something I need to do with, we're working on our game. That's what I'm here to do.
Yeah. And I think that the real hoopers know working on your game is not just shooting from the corner, you know, working on your hook shot, working on your layups, working on your ball handling. Basketball IQ, that matters. Basketball IQ is what separates, you know, high school players from college players from, you know, international to NBA. It's those levels of basketball IQ. So if I'm a Tony Snell who's coming on that double team, I'm flexing my basketball IQ muscles because I know, wait, he's in the corner. you know, the sideline and the baseline are additional defenders, it's basically like having four defenders around him if I come over.
Exactly.
So it's knowing that, knowing when to send that double team, not just, it's not like they just caught, like Devin Booker just caught the ball and then they immediately ran. Mm-hmm. They're reading the situation. Okay, you know, whoever it is can't shoot. He's at the top of the key. They got a non-shooter on the opposite side either. This is the perfect time for me to go because they're going to have to slash at the basket. I got Joe Kimnola as my rim protector or whatever. I'm good. That's basketball IQ. So why can't I work on my basketball IQ and how I react in those kind of situations? Just because you're Devin Booker, the lead scorer, and I got to let you score on me?
Who doesn't play defense?
Right. It's always the offensive players that have nothing to say, you know, positive about defense, or they just want to, you know, give all the advantage to the offensive players. But I'm 100% against Devin Booker on that. Like, work on your game. Work on how would you pass out of a double team in the corner. Show me that and show me how you've progressed. Show me your skip pass from baseline to baseline or from sideline to sideline from the baseline. And show me that.
Did you not pass the ball in that pickup game? Like, every time you touched the ball, you just went one-on-one? You shot the ball every time you touched it. Why? That's the only part of your game you're working on? You'll never make the playoffs.
Right. I mean, that's why I feel like this is, it's legit like a loser's mentality. So the people that, you know, agreed with him, I understand, you know, KD, obviously elite scorer. And KD, where KD's from, he's, you know, built just to have this like mental toughness on the basketball court, I should say. So, I mean, I understand that. I feel it. So I'm not saying like, yo, he's good. It's Devin Booker. I'm just going to double team him every single time. But if Devin Booker gets going, I know Devin Booker can get hot. So if it's Klay Thompson, if it's Steph Curry, I'm not just going to continue to guard them one-on-one because it's pickup. I am trying to win a game. I'm not going to let Steph Curry score 11 points on me in a game to 11. Like, no.
That's retarded.
Exactly. And this isn't your open run. You are participating in this open run with fellow NBA players. Like, don't disrespect me like that. Like,
I can't do it. I slap you like Rafer Austin did Eddie House. Keep talking to me like that.
Yeah, so I definitely 100% cannot rock with Devin Booker on this. And Carl, I think we predicted correctly because we were like, man, we're both more defensive-minded. So we thought we'd be on the same page there. And we're just too competitive to be like, nah, do what you got to do to win the game.
You right. No.
Nah, do what you got to do to win the game. Anything else, you can't dictate the rules of basketball or take certain things out come pickup time. Actually, no, I lie. There are certain things that maybe I'm not going to call in a pickup game, but it's different things like a charge or something like that because no one's really taking charges in a pickup game. So I can understand things like that, but you can't tell me not to send a double team or not to run pick and roll or not to post up if I have an advantage or anything like that. Like,
you know, I've always wondered about that, though. Why can't I call an offensive foul? If you're going to call me a defense, if you're going to call a defensive foul to win the game, why can't I call an illegal screen or a charge? Are we just calling out a block every time? Bro, like,
well, if we call illegal screens, games will never end.
But I'm just saying, like, if you grab me,
yeah,
if you really wrap your arms around me, why can't I call that?
You know,
grab you going to the rim, you're going to call it.
Yeah, I feel you. Maybe not like the traditional, you know, charges where you think of, okay,
like,
you know, like,
screen, like, I'm not going to call that.
right. Yeah. But no, I have seen situations and I've been involved in these situations. Like, if you're posting me up, then you throw your elbow in my face, you know, turning around, like, nah, that's an offensive foul. Like, I fell to the ground. You know what I mean? Like, right. Everyone knows, nah, that's a foul going the other way. But just like the traditional, you know, hey, it's a 2-on-1. I jump in front of someone and take a charge. I'm not taking the charge.
Oh yeah, especially if the person you get the charge from ain't even the one with the ball.
right.
Come on.
Yeah. So it's like I'm not really rocking with that. But like those blatant ones where it's like you can't just elbow me in the head and like that's not a foul. Like, no, that's going the other way. But I mean, it is an interesting take, but I just feel like not that there's a true line to it, but I just think you look at where you're playing. You see who you're playing with, and you just kind of know, like, what it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
But double teams, nah. Double teams are never off limits. players play. So, period. So, Connie, you got anything to add?
Nah, I mean, players don't play.
Yeah.
Players play.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll. So we'll see. Hopefully, I want to see Devin Booker work out for the rest of the summer. I want to see how many more times he gets double teamed. I want to see him snap on something next time he gets double teamed.
I want to see his workouts like for the rest of the summer now.
Yeah, and you know what?
I want to see how you're practicing that, because this shows me when you're around other competitors and they're competing. That you don't want to tap into that, or you can't tap into that. And so now I want to see how you show up like all the time. And if this has anything to do with like your game on the court, like for real, like just your mentality that because you can score, like you feel that you've earned a certain privilege to not, you know, have to deal with certain things. I don't know. It's just, it makes me wonder how his like mentality is when he's on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, coaches have said it from the beginning of the time. You know, practice the way you're going to play in the game. So, same thing applies here. Practice the way that you're going to play in the game. Period. So we're gonna wrap it up in a couple minutes. We just got a couple quick things to touch on. So since the DeMarcus Cousins injury, since his torn ACL, the Lakers are apparently in the market for a big man. I don't know if they're looking for a starter or if they're looking for a backup. If you guys don't know, they have JaVale McGee. They re-signed JaVale McGee. The biggest name that they've apparently been looking at is Dwight Howard. Also, I think they brought in Mo Spates as well as Joakim Noah for private workouts as well.
Yeah, looking at Gortat.
Oh, they're looking at Marcin Gortat too?
He overseas right now, so they didn't bring him in, but they're looking at him.
Okay. Huh. That's an interesting fit. So out of those four, who do you guys think that they should pursue?
Dwight.
So Connie, who do you think?
You know, it would be great. I know he wouldn't show up the way he could, but Powell?
I think he signed great with somebody.
Powell signed with Portland. Yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, damn, I didn't hear that. Okay.
Yeah, it was one of those under-the-radar ones. Key.
I saw it on Facebook. It was like small letters, too. It wasn't even capital.
Right. Yeah, they don't show Powell any respect anymore.
Nah.
Why didn't they pursue Andrew Bynum? Oh, we don't respect him no more? All right. Or, you know what?
I would have checked out what Greg Oden is.
I was just
going to
say Greg Oden.
Larry Sanders,
yeah.
I would have looked at both of them.
Didn't
Amari got a workout?
Yeah, didn't LeBron want Larry Sanders one of those Cleveland years? Weren't they pursuing
Larry
Sanders?
He was on the roster.
He was on the roster. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
They brought him back.
Mm.
They brought back Greg Oden in Miami.
Yeah, I remember that. That would be interesting. Just take a look at the big three, you know.
Not getting Carlos Boozer. Tell you that much.
Nah,
that's one Laker they should never respect.
Carlos Boozer.
But I would definitely go with Dwight. Improved, I'm not saying he's still great, but improved touch from mid range and outside, but you don't really need him to score. I mean, no matter who you get, it definitely changes your offensive approach to the game, because no center out there is going to do exactly what DeMarcus could do.
Yeah.
Joakim Noah has the passing ability to kind of keep the offense still flowing the way no other center, no other available one can. You know, I mean, if you're looking for somebody to stretch the floor, that's kind of out.
Yeah.
I mean, Mo Spates would probably be the best for that. But I still think that just to have a person take that center position, just fill that body so that Anthony Davis doesn't have to play it because he doesn't want to, I think Dwight would be the best. It's basically just a better JaVale McGee.
Yeah,
you still
at
have
this
that
point.
Same exact player.
Yeah.
With Joakim Noah, you get that same type, but I just don't think he'll be as good of a rim protector or rebounder than Dwight would be. But he does add a passing aspect that may be nice, but you don't necessarily need it because You're not going to put the ball in his hands as much as you would have with DeMarcus because of his ability to score inside, outside, and pass. You know, with Joakim Noah, he can pass, but with the other ball handlers, you're just not going to put the ball in his hand that much. Yeah. I don't see him touching the ball as much as DeMarcus would have, so you don't really need it. So I would honestly just go with Dwight.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's people do have to put some respect back on Dwight Howard's name. I mean, I understand kind of once he left LA, even his years in Houston weren't, you know, really the years that people expected. But I'm looking at Dwight Howard's stats. So he didn't play much last year because of his butt injury. You know, let's call it what it is.
That was the wrong type of injury to have with the rumors
with his situation.
Had.
Exactly.
Because he called him a bottom.
Yeah. Man, and cost that man his season.
When Jalen Rose said his mysterious gluteus maximus injury, I mean, seriously, you're a 6'11 bottom and you hurt your ass?
We just got to put some respect back on Dwight's name just because of his production on the court. So even in the 9 games last year.
What was it, like 13-9?
Yeah, so 13-9. The year before that in Charlotte, his last year in Charlotte, or his only year in Charlotte, I mean. 16.6 points per game, 12.5 rebounds per game.
That's great.
In 30 minutes. That's like a career low in minutes, you know, before this past season. So that's a lot in, you know, 30 minutes worth. How many centers are giving you that right now? Honestly, you've never even gotten that from DeAndre Jordan, you know, 16 and 12.5.
Never. Those are like Clint Capella type numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not bad.
Right, and I could pay older Clint Capella $3.5 million for a season to try to win a championship, as opposed to paying the real Clint Capella $20 million a year. I mean, I'm just saying. But Dwight does have some durability, you know, question marks now, you know, with the butt injury, and then you have the back before that, the shoulder and all that, you know, kind of worries you. But if you're not asking that much of him, ask 25 minutes a game. You know, 25 minutes for him, 23 for JaVale. There you go. You got starting center minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's your full 48.
Yeah. And, you know, 80's not gonna be able to give you, you know, 28 to 30 a night. LeBron's not going to give you 28 to 30 a night, and that's going to win you some games. So you got to find 12 here, 10 there, mm-hmm. 11 here. If Dwight can give you 12 points a game, that's doing good.
It is.
So I hope the Lakers don't pursue him, because I don't need them to get any sort of additional, you know, leg up on the competition. But, you know, because we're a Laker-free podcast here when Brandon's not here. So, yeah. But, yeah, y'all got anything else to add? How we feeling?
Okay, just real quick. Royce White made a comment.
Oh, yeah.
About Carmelo Anthony not being signed and how he definitely believes that he's being blackballed. He kind of threw LeBron under the bus. Mm-hmm. He made sure he threw the Lakers under the bus by bringing up PJ Tucker, but then he did bring up LeBron and he, you know, walking around, blah, blah, blah. He can't get his man, you know, signed to the team, but they can get PJ Tucker. Now, PJ Tucker brings a completely, I'm sorry, Jared Dudley.
Jared Dudley, yeah.
I'm sorry, Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley plays a completely different role. You don't even, he might play about 10 games this year, 20 games at the most.
Yeah.
But somebody said something earlier where, Kendrick Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
He defended LeBron earlier on Twitter by saying LeBron tried to get Carmelo when he was in Cleveland, because he said, I've seen GMs turn LeBron down and tell him no, so LeBron don't got the power that people think he do. What Kendrick Perkins forgot to bring up is the fact that this was a Carmelo Anthony who was under contract for $25, $30 million a year. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about a veteran minimum Carmelo Anthony who can give you double digits per game. It's not the same situation.
Yeah.
I didn't like that comparison. It's two completely different situations. Just like what you said, you can sign a TJ Warren for 17, 18 million a year for him to give you 16, 17 points. Or you can get a Carmelo Anthony to give you 15, It's 17 points per game, and you got to pay him two.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do kind of got to look at LeBron some type of way because I think getting Melo to Houston, I think Chris Paul had something to do with that. He was instrumental in that somehow. But with the fact that LeBron has always had, he's always made his feelings about Melo pretty vocal. We have a pretty good understanding of their relationship. And the fact that he hasn't, it's like he refuses to bring in Melo. Like, this is like his lowest point. You could basically grant Melo his last season in the league, and you're choosing not to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's kind of telling. All right, so that's another episode of Fan Culture. Again, just tune in, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Check us out. Like our Facebook page. Also, follow us on Instagram at Fan Culture Pod. Again, make sure to check out our Fantasy Football League. Spots are filling up quickly, so go ahead and sign up for that as soon as you can. And, yeah, you got anything else to add, Carl?
That's a wrap.
All right, that's a wrap. Till next time, y'all. Peace.